This morning I'm turning to the book of Prophet Isaiah chapter 5. I read from verse 1 to 7. Now I will sing to my well-beloved a song of my well-beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved had a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a wine press therein. And he looked at it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked at it, shall bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command a cloud that there rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts, the house of Israel, and the men of Judah, his pleasant plant, and he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, a cry. This morning I want us to think on the subject, is God's mercy abused? While we look through the words of Prophet Isaiah here, is God's mercy abused? This parabolic song in this chapter by the prophet Isaiah expresses God's care and provision and patience with the people of Israel against their failure to produce godly lives, holy and righteous lives, which God's mercy should have led them to. God has been good to Israel, yet bringing them to the promised land and giving them everything and giving them among the nations of the world. They only had his worship, his law, and everything to make them to be useful as his people, to become a people of choice, the choices among all people of the earth. And by this parable, he's berating how they have misused his mercies towards them. And so this parable also sets out how God was going to withdraw his mercies from them by way of judgment, because they have become useless and unprofitable to him. They become ungrateful to all their source, to the source of all their blessings. The Ekan Opin said, Prophet Isaiah, in some Kakraya, you can't wait. I saw the Anyon Tua, Odibu, Ebu, Ebe, Efa, Israel for, and then Yanko Pong, in Tim. Say Yanko Pong, I do more, the Adum Israel for. So we see that they have used God's mercies to live for themselves. God was supposed to enjoy these mercies and live for God, but they have used them to live for themselves. They have despised his requirement for them. Rather, they have sinned in them. How God wanted them to use these mercies to be his people that will obey him and live for him. They have misused all. They rather sinned with all the mercies. Because remember, there were people in that land when God said, because of their sins, he's going to sack them. Indeed, he killed almost all of them. And then he sacked them from the land and brought these people as like you are transplanting an nursery. He brought them and planted them there, gave them everything that was supposed to make them useful to him. So as he tells us in the verse, he said that for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. The men of Judah is his pleasant plant, and he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression for righteousness, but behold, a cry. Okay, so he has already told us how useless they have become from verse 4 to 6. He said that what could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it. See, also the Lord will say that he has been sending his prophets several times to warn them, even when they have sinned. He has used so many means to draw them back, but they never listen to him. So finally, they have to go into captivity and destruction. So, how do we relate to this thing, this parable, to ourselves? So you see, why this parable is about the people of Israel and how they have failed the Lord, despite the mercies they have enjoyed, it also speaks to every one of us here. Each one of us, they have enjoyed the mercies of God. We have all had goodness from his hand, our life and everything we have. So as we think of this, we must say, oh, these people of Israel were so stubborn, they didn't do well. We also have had enough from the hands of God, and that all these things that God has given us, life and all supports of it, what are they for? What are they for? So we think of this on ourselves, and it tells us how this message will have left us to seek and know God and live according to his will. That we live alone for him. That's how this message speaks to us. Why are we in this world? Why do we come to this world? Why do we start from infancy and we grow up through youthful age to adulthood? What's the purpose of it? Is it just living and dying? There's purpose. And that all the blessings and the message we have enjoyed is to help us to seek to know him, that we may live for him alone, even in this world. We are not even yet to talk about afterlife. Even in this world, we are supposed to know him. In Acts chapter 14, Apostle Paul was telling Lystra, one of the six, that God, he spoke about when he said, God has fight, God, man have sinned against God. God has not left us without a witness. He gave us rain, seasons, and many things to enjoy, so that happily we will seek after him. So that we will look where God is and how his ways are, and live accordingly. They can say, Sir, Abegwo Nyumia, Prophet Isaiah, or the church, Miss Melisba, or Tibia, or Yamianim, or the Mogrohua, or Ashreno. Yeah, I said. So by way of application, we'll draw lessons from this parable to remind us of the purpose of our existence as we are accountable to God. Whether we like it or not, we are all accountable to God. Because the whole parable tells us of accountability. He came to look for fruit. Not any fruit, proper fruit, but he found they brought the fruit. Indeed, they brought fruit, but so they were wild grapes. So you see, and he tells that in verse 7, it's time for what they have done with all that he did for them. They have sinned with it. So that we should remind ourselves how we are accountable to God. A day is coming where we shall all stand before him. We shall be summoned. I remember one of our Sunday school lessons that a day that nobody can miss. Some people can reject. Some people, when they are summoned to the court of prayer, they can run away and they cannot find them. But before that day, nobody can hide. We shall all come and stand before. We shall be summoned. If the dead shall rise, the living shall come. We don't have power of our lives. The one who has power of our life will call us before him. And we shall be accountable. So it's a great thing to always be thinking about this while we are here. And then this prophet Isaiah brought this to the people of Israel then, to remind them before the judgment of God came. But they never listened. And each one of us, we have to think through this. And in thinking through this, because if you look at this, I said, what, verse 4, what could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? So you see that after everything, he did more. And we also, despite all the mercies we have in this life, God, by his grace, has also made it possible for us to know him. Not that, yes, we are enjoying, but how can we know God? He has made it possible for us so that we can know him and please him and live for him. Because he's the only one our lives must please. Yes, the whole world might be displeased with us if we want to obey God, but it's God that matters. Yes, whatever happens, it's only him that matters. And though we may have never lived to please him in our lives, but by his word and by this truth given us here, it should help us to reflect and see how we can now, if we have not known him, begin to seek him and know him and live for him. Because God, when he sent his son into the world, he had this in mind, that he knew us. If you go to Acts chapter 17 and verse 14 again, it tells us how God left the nations to walk in their own ways. He overlooked their everything, waiting till the time Christ came. And Apostle Paul said that now that Christ has come, repent. In Acts 7, he said that God went up. He like somebody who is sitting there, and things are going on, he just closed his eyes. He went at the nations and their idolatry and all the things they did, not according to Israel. But he said, now repent. So you see that God's mercy shown unto us, and also his grace by sending his son, Lord Jesus Christ, to this world, demonstrated that God has done enough for us, so that we have no excuse to say that, well, we never knew how to seek after God. We never knew how to come back to God. That is what God has done for us. And you know that what Christ has done, that he came to die for our sins' punishment. He poured his precious blood. It was his blood that God accepted as a way of our reconciliation with him. And all those who come to him by faith, God accepts them. That's what the Bible tells us. And everyone who ever trusted in Christ have been accepted and have become the people of God. And now they're able to know his way. So we also, if we have not known him this way, we can know it because it is clear in his word for us. So this parable is a parable that should help us reflect in our lives in this world and how we stand before God. And see, are we useful to him or we are useless? And those that are useless, the judgment will come. And are we part of those or not? It's a question we have to ask ourselves. So my first point is that, why was God expecting good fruit? He was not expecting any fruit, but good fruit. Adana ya kukwana ope, ebiaba, epapa. Enye diabe biyana ope, ebiaba, epapa. The first thing is that, the plants were his cultivation. He planted them. My well-beloved had a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. He planted them in a particular place. The people of Israel, he brought them particularly to the Canaan land. And this plant, as he says, it was well cultivated. These were not wild plants that grow on uncultivated land that anybody can cut them and they are uncared for. Anybody can uproot them and do it, but these were cultivated plants. If you know a little bit about farming, you understand what I'm trying to cut across. Or let's say a flower in the house and those in the bush. You just compare. The flower in the house has that much care and is able to bring up to the expectation of their owners. But those in the bush, I mean, who cares about that? So as we think of how God planted, the parable is telling us this vineyard that was well cultivated. Let's ask ourselves again: how do we come into this world like this cultivated plant? We are brought into this world by God, who is the creator of all things. Our parents did not give us lives; they gave birth to us, but they did not give us lives. Some people will say, oh, with your mom and a woman. Some people don't want to think about God. Mom and a woman. Your mom and mom and mom. They didn't give us life. They cannot even sustain their own life. Our parents, our fathers and mothers cannot give us life. They cannot sustain their own lives. Parents and children draw their life from God himself, who is the spring of life. So none can give life except God himself. In 1 Samuel 2:6, we are told that the Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. He decides. He is sovereign over life. He rules over life affairs. In his four lives, the lives and death of children and men. Now, who born a what to me one person in Semuna and Pani Uwo? On not share some Robi Rath, if he has on not share Robi and Fi if he has seen. So death and birth are presided by him, over by him. You see, in our part of the world, I mean, there's much of curses that, oh, somebody curses you, dies and all that. So some of the people say that, oh, well, life is not so, somebody can curse you and die and all that. Let us know that whatever happens to our life, either it's a direct or a permission by God. If God has not permitted anyone, nobody can affect our lives. And He permits by our way of life so that we maybe die or live. So all are in His hand. If He permits that, we should be slaughtered. If He has not permitted us to be slaughtered, nobody can slaughter us. If he has permitted that in our way as we go, we should die that way, nobody can prevent it. No matter how hot we do, we will die in the same way. So this is, and it's a mystery. We think, how some people can die tragically, say, why, I mean, is God there? Yes, God has permitted it. We are not judges of who God who keeps our lives. We are not judges. He decides what to do, and he only knows why people die that way. So He determines where, who, and how they give birth to us. We are not product of chance. Okay, we are not. We didn't just come to this out of the blue. We are not product of chance, as some people also think. Sometimes people think of unplanned births. Oh, well, they didn't plan and they gave birth. So, as if life can be. It is not so with God. Yes, people did not plan, but God gave their life. Whatever means we came to this, whether our parents planned or not, it's a life God has given. And that person must live accountable to God. So long as you have come to this world, it doesn't matter how you were born or who God gave birth to you, you are accountable to Him. You have life. You are a reasonable being. So it's a matter of thought we have to think about. How did we come to this world? God gave us opportunity to come to live in this world. Upon a mind, a queen has been brass. She said, "Your papa and mama, our plan is all about we also. A woman, a woman in that nearby, we are still more said they all. Yeah, upon a mind, 500 by we are so long as a woman can, yeah, upon a mind, ah, the boom upon that. The second thing I noticed is that God, like a good farmer, He cleared every obstacle that could have hampered the survival of this plant. See, look at how He did. He protected it from destroyers and thieves. Verse 2, and He fenced it and guarded out the stones. You see, if you know how farming is, especially those who are having planted vegetables and other things, how they will clear everything, the stumps and the stones, everything, so that, and the plant will have that enough capacity to grow. And this, He did to this plant. Again, have you considered many dangers and life threats that you have been through? Just rethink. How many dangers and life threats you have been through? How were you able to overcome them? Abrabomu haone kukukiasi anase enyoma kibetu miyama wefiri asimu atu abrabomu wabye hupe se ebanisaina uko ufa umua ebya uwanshre ukrakura. Some, I'm sure you say, oh, I'm very lucky that I nearly survived. And that sickness, accident, difficult situation, whatever it is. Think of the same life trouble that sent some people you knew to a situation that, or to a condition that they can never recover themselves. Maybe the same situation, some have been paralyzed, some have been blind, some have got into a state they cannot return to normalcy again. Somehow, even the same situation have taken some to their graves. Let's even remember this COVID that came. It says, some have to pass out through that, but you are still alive. Have you thought why? Those who have gone, God has taken, He wants their life to end there. Yes, it's out of COVID or sickness, but God wants their life to end there. But you and I, we are to continue and still enjoy the mercy of God. And what have you, or what are you doing to that? So see, whatever our threat of life has been, the dangers has been, let's think. Why am I able to go through? are all these medicines just by chance? The troubles of life and the difficulties and the accidents or many things that who have taken your life, is it by chance that you survived? Hey, then how are you? Then you are the captain of your life. But it's not so. It's not by chance. God kept us all through. Let us know that chance has no power over life perils and life safeties. For if we will be secure or not, let us not think that we are wise. Some people think that, oh, because I'm wise. When we are driving, we nearly get an accident. And we will say, oh, because maybe I turned the steer this way or that. But the same thing, people couldn't turn the steer. He had the strength, but he couldn't turn the steer. Sometimes you didn't even know how you turned the steer, but at least you were able to escape. But who did it? It's not by chance. God has purposed that you will not die by that accident. That's how it is. Indeed, all that we have seen in life, they are tended to secure us our life in this world, so that we can live up to now. And all these things that are tended for us to live up to now, they are ordered by God, the maker and preserver of life. He who has kept alive and preserved us. He has made the laws of nature, and he rules over providence. Some science talk about nature as if nature is its own God. Who made the laws of nature? Laws are made by somebody. Laws cannot exist without somebody making them. So, laws of nature are made by God. And he rules over providence. The thing that happens to us, and we think we sometimes give it a chance. He overrules the world. And that everything is kept in check. If they should tell you this, the planetary bodies, and the measurement, how they orbit, and the space between them, and the interval, those who have learned it, they should tell you, and yet some of them will learn this and say, oh, nobody can tell it. It's interesting. Because everything is in precision. The whole world, the whole solar system is in precision. A little slip, there's a disaster. And yet, look at how our machines that we make on Earth, small thing, like our car, small thing, the engine crashes and we are somewhere and we have to call for the mechanic. And yet, the world can exist and maintain itself. You see, God is sustaining all things, and He has placed us here to think on this, all this greatness, and to see where is God, where can we find Him, where are His demands on us, and what does He want us to do. So, all that you have gone through in life, how many of us are mindful that this providence is a message from God? This safety we have enjoyed, they are all messages from God. Are we grateful to look up to Him that way? Until we are grateful, we think that it's just normal. Maybe we deserve it. Ungratefulness will lead us not to think about why God has given us. So, So the third thought is that we are also told in this parable that the seed he planted were of the finest vine and also in a favorable land. In verse 1 and 2, we capture this. See that the last part of verse 1, my well beloved had a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. I mean, not any other land, a fruitful hill. A hill that will, the land that are able to produce the best of fruit. And planted it with the choicest vine. Verse 2, we have it in verse 2. A portion of it, and planted with the choicest vine. According to what I learned, the Jewish people knew when we talk about the choicest vine, they know the quality among the vines. And when the prophet said the choicest vine, they know what he's trying to tell them. They have, there are some of the grapes that they say is the best above all the other grapes, and that they have it from a choice, the very quality of them. So, making them this position and the kind of seed make them is to make them capable of yielding the best of grapes, the best and the quality, not anything below standard. So by application, we too are exceptionally endowed for the purpose of our existence. You see that God did not bring us to this world just like that. He has given, if you look at the human body and even the weather condition, everything that we have to live. You see that God has really occasion everything so that we can live in this world for a purpose. Even let's consider the human mind. if we forget it, there's a human mind. There's a unique gift from God to us. Yes, Nyankopon, Let's think of the capabilities to know, understand, and design things. It is by the mind that we are able to know things and understand things and design also things. Look at the literature, all the books in the world. It was produced by the human mind, the thought of people. All the books in the world, all the ideas people bring up, produced by the human mind. The technological advancement and the designs that it has brought along, it was produced by the human intellect. People think, oh, they are wise people. It's the mind. Who gave us? It's God. If man were not a thinking being, man cannot live, cannot develop the world. But all these are given to us freely. And not to only God's children, but to the world. I mean, this is a natural gift. Minds, great minds. We can read of great minds in history, scientific men and philosophers. It's their mind. All that makes them great is their mind. Each one of us. So it's a unique gift that we have from God. But most importantly, the mind is capable of knowing God. It's not just to produce things for us to live in this world. You see, then we are doing one day again. My books are true. We are seeing here. Nipa, I mean, in the Detroit. In some of our Nipa, we are Detroit. In the future, car technology. And then, most of my into Zimbabwe, we are seeing. And Nipa, I mean, no, we are not technology. But I'm going to drink this design and your mom and boy and trust us. Nipa, you are doing that. This is what the eternity. We be here. So God had a purpose for man to develop the world. I mean to search about his creation. That's why he gave us the mind to search about his creation. They can say, Adwin, you say, or the market can say, if I say, I'm going to go out. The here people say, Adwin, which you are saying, Adwin, I'm going to go out. That's the greatest part of it. The mind is capable of knowing God. And also to love and delight in him if it were not for sin. So, Nyabwaniya, the first thing is to know God, is to just think of God. And if it will be able to do all these things that we are thinking of, technology, education, whatever. But then, the first thing is God and how I'm able to live for Him. But when, just why in the state of sin, we cannot know God, but when it is the mind is renewed from its sinful state by the Spirit of God, we are restored again to this. When our minds are renewed by the Spirit, when we are born again, we come to have the Spirit of the life of God in us again, we are restored to this state again. And the whole Bible is there to lead us into this, to how our this mind can be restored back from its sinful state. You think of other privileges, even us in this country, in this part of the world, those of us who are born in this land. Let's think of the liberty we have. We need to hear the gospel. It's the gospel alone that tells us of the love of God to our sinful sinners. Let's think of the gospel of Christ that we have. We have the liberty to hear. And think of those in the Arab lands, communist nations, where just owning a Bible is an offense. North Korea, you can't own a Bible. You are a criminal, like a thief. In many other Arab lands where you just, I mean, maybe speaking about the Bible, you'll be jailed. Some of these countries, the churches will be jailed. I'm sure it's in China that you cannot witness to convert an indigenous of the land. Yes, foreigners can worship in their church. So the church work is limited only for foreigners. But here, we have the liberty to come to church and listen to the word of God. But how are we so grateful to these things? And how are we thankful to the Lord? Do you know that each one of us who have been born in this one of these countries where we can never hear about Jesus Christ? And even ever we will hear about him, only that they may be saying wrong thing about him so that we've been hating him at all. So let's think about privileges and how God has placed us here. So that we have the opportunity to hear of God's love for needy sinners. that God has sent His Son to come and die for us. That's the only way to know Him is through Christ. That Christ has died for our sins. That faith in Him alone is able to draw us back, to grant us forgiveness of sin, and to give us this state where we are able to really live for God, so that at the day of judgment, we shall have something to bring, because we have Christ with us. Friends, we have been planted in a very fruitful hill, as the prophet said, in a very fruitful hill. Not that the country we live in is economically prosperous, but we have the opportunity. Sometimes people think of Ghana is too hard, Ghana is too bad. Think of Ukraine and many countries that there are wars. You see, we only think of maybe what we eat and sleep, and no, let's think aloud. We have opportunity to hear about this message of God's love to us. And we are able to come to church and think of Him. That's most important than anything else. I mean, anything else. So each one of us, if you have not, anyone among us who have not really sought the Lord to know Him, to have His sins forgiven Him, it can be done now. God is merciful to us. And He has given us this opportunity that He will save us if we come to Him. He will forgive us of our sins. He will give us that grace that we're able to live for Him in this world. It's something we can reflect through as we have the opportunity to come and worship. Let us also think of our souls. See, this body is dying. It will definitely go to the grave. But our souls are immortal. We are immortal beings. When we talk of immortal beings, our souls are immortal. It lives on when we die. It lives on. And we are destined also for eternal happiness or misery. How we will live after death? Either in happiness or in damnation. So all the benefits given us here, old writers, it's a time of probation to use it to prepare for eternity. And are you preparing for eternity? Are you preparing for life beyond this life? There's life beyond this life. This is a temporal life. We might not live up to 50 years. Some of us who have not gotten to 50 years. But then, are you preparing? Because in Hebrews 9:7, we are told that it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. It's a fact in Scripture that we shall all go to judgment, as we remind ourselves again. Okay, time is going, so let me move on. Let's think of what food this plant produced. What did they produce? Last part of verse 2, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. Despite the maintenance, the protection and provision, the vines produced bad fruits that were only good for destruction. It produced poisonous fruit that cannot be eaten. It cannot be used for anything, and also substandard to the estimation of the owner. Again, let's ask ourselves, what have we used our liberties and basis for? What have we lived for? Let's ask ourselves, what have we lived for? You know, by our sinful hearts, we come into this world only to live for ourselves. That's our mind. When we are born into this world, it's me, myself. As we are growing up, it's me, myself. Yes, we will think of others, but the ultimate purpose of life is me. And this is because of our sinful life. Our sinful heart. Sin is in us. We are born in sin. And then we continue to live in sin. As we are growing up, then as we have this attitude of selfishness, we become proud of ourselves. Pride comes. As children grow, then they begin to see how nice they are and how intelligent, and then they begin to worship themselves. How proud we are. We are all like that. We come to this world in this way. And then not only that, we begin to learn to lie and cheat for selfish ends. As our pride has grown up and we think we are very nice people, then we learn to cheat and lie to keep ourselves in safety. And also our heart, hatred grows in our heart against others. I mean, it's like a field. These weeds begin to grow. These are weeds. These are not. These fruits are not what we are here for. But this naturally will grow. It's like if you live in land, there, it begins to grow all sorts of things. But it is interesting that God has brought us here, and yet this is what we can produce, not according to His purpose. And also, we envy and despise others. And things that excels us. You see, that's why we begin to envy others who are better than us in many, many things. You see, it's something nobody teaches us. It grows in us. These are the fruits we bear when we come to this world. And that is not what we are intended to bring, but that is what we are. That is what we bring because of our sinful heart. We are not able to bring out fruits that are excellent before eyes of God. And the worst of all, we develop hatred for God. While we are going in this with bad fruit, then begin to hate God who has even given us our life and existence. Especially when we become more aware of His law, especially the written law, become clear to us, then we say, oh, then we cannot have anything to do with God. We want to live in a life of rebellion. So such and many others are the wild grapes of sin we are accustomed to. These are wild grapes of sin, the wild grape that is through God. We also have our wild grapes of sin, all sorts of sin, nasty things that we grow up with. And even in this state, if God has not, come to us, in Isaiah 26 verse 10, we are told that let favor be shown to the wicked, to the sinner, yet he will not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness, for he deal unjustly and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Whatever mercy is shown to the sinner in his sin, he will never use them for the purpose of God. He will use for himself. Everything is for himself and him alone. Friends, let's remind us, it takes only the grace of God in the heart of everyone to be able to live holy and righteous life. We may try to live, when we come to have contact with religion, church, and begin to maybe try to adjust our life after we attend church. We don't be able to see us as bad people. But that's not what God wants us to. He wants us to be totally fruitful, pure, not some. So we begin to produce some of this good food. You know, this grace of God that we are talking about, Adam, even in his state of purity, when God left him to ask for himself, he failed. You know why Adam failed? People say sometimes that oh, the sin of Adam, because Adam was not perfect. He was created perfect. But God, that's what I did it from that part, that God have made it that without him, the most purest creature will fall to sin. This is why. If God should leave us to, Christians, if God should leave us to ask ourselves, or we fall away from the ways of God, we fall into sin. That's it. So Adam in that purity, when he was going to ask for himself, he failed because he needs God's grace to sustain him. But God is only God's grace alone that will make us pure. It's God alone that will make us clean and be able to hold on to him and never fall into sin. So good fruit of holiness and righteousness are produced in us by the Holy Spirit, as we have told Galatians 5:22-23. The fruit of the Spirit. That's what we are talking about. Fruit that are pure. In Ephesians, we are told that the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness. That's what the Bible says. So some conclusions of bad ni pa kumi mwa. Jumeti odi ya odi ya kumi mwa ya Yesu ene ya e bani ya inyaro. Esu ya mire bise ome shasi Yesu abba esu ya mire. Eni adomo aeka mwa sasa ye ni yako kwa adom na yako mano a bani asha ne mano patimu ye tumi asha tia su abba so radielo. And we have this before we come again when we come to seek forgiveness from the Lord. By trusting Jesus Christ who died for our sins. This is where we begin this grace again. Everything we have God wants to restore to us, it begins with Christ. It is only through Him, His death on the cross, that we are given this grace. And this grace is a special dealing with us, whereby God forgives our sins in Him. And not only that, He also gives us a new life. As I said, the Holy Spirit, He made the Spirit come and live in us. And the Spirit will bring our minds into subjection to God. The Spirit works in us to make our minds to be subject to God. So without the Holy Spirit in us, we are not able to live. Yes, we will try to learn do's and don'ts. Do's and don'ts. Do's and don'ts. But only for selfish ends. So until the Spirit gracious works in us, you can never live to please Him. You can never. And God has said it. Nobody can please Him. Except our hearts are changed. And as we know, the purpose of our existence is to please Him. The purpose of our existence is to please Him. And then, nobody can please Him except we are possessed by the Holy Spirit. The idea of Holy Spirit nowadays, sometimes people think it's a mistake or something, and because people think, oh, when I speak in tongues, I have the Holy Spirit and all that. No! The Bible wants us to know if you have the Spirit, but the fruit is produced in us. The love for God. The desire to obey Him in every aspect of my life. This is what we are talking about. It's not about, what I can do, other things. No. The pure love for God that we want to live. So so that we don't want to delight anything about God alone and His will. Not in some part of my life. Not, okay, these things I obey, but other part I don't know. When our heart comes under the rule of the Spirit, we cannot say, even if we are disobeying, it's like tongues betraying us. Like as you sit in a seat at our tongues, you don't feel comfortable even sinning against Him when your hearts are changed. When our hearts have been renewed by the Spirit, we cannot continue in sin and be happy. God will make us unhappy when we sin against Him. And so that's why people without the grace of God can sin and sin and sin. The one of Scripture doesn't move them. But those that have been changed, yes, they may fall into sin, but they will never be happy till they have returned to their master again. So I'll go to my last part. The misery in abusing God's mercy. And we are told in verse 5 to 6. And I'll go to, I'll tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I'll take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste, it shall not be pruned, and nor digged. But there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command a cloud that they rain no rain on it upon it. Remember, when Adam sinned, what did God tell him? One of his points is that the grounds will begin to be what? Thorns and thistles. I mean, afflictions and troubles of life. That is where. And I mean, really, there was physical thorns. But then, they did, I mean, the misery of living a life without God. So meaning that God will withdraw all the protection and also seize all the cultivating effects. So you put no more effort in improving upon the life of this plant again. He will abandon it, he will take up the hedges around it, the protection, he will take it away. Or if it's a plant, you will not give fertilizer again. So the next year, you will not bring it. Even that bad fruit, it will be extinguished. So this, by and by, this plant will perish. It will die. And such is the case of every unrepentant sinner. Everyone who have known the love of God, who have heard of God sending His Son to come and die for us. And you know, repentance begins with the changing of our mind about God and about how we stand before Him. And especially when we hear the gospel, how it tells us that we see ourselves as sinners before Him, and the desire and the remorse we have for our sin, that we don't want to live in that state again, because we have been grateful to God, and that we have abused His mercy. And that's where repentance begins. If we don't change our mind from this side, we can never really turn to Him with our whole lives. It begins with this, the idea that I have done against Him. But the unrepentance, and I will continue to love His sins, despite all the warnings from God's word. The other kind of said, Yankupong, For the time will come, God, I mean, when we reject the warnings of God, let's remember the time will come when God will leave us in our sins. He will leave you in your sins. You continue to sin and enjoy it and think that it's okay. And unbelief, you also think that, oh, I cannot trust in God at all. And hearing the gospel will not have any power over you. The gospel, the power of God, is salvation. When we come and we hear the gospel of Christ, and we bring our minds under it, and we are thinking of faith and how the promises, we want to take hold of it. That's where God comes to help us. But then we abandon the promises, we abandon everything. This good news will be nothing to us, because we want to go on and destroy ourselves. Many people, they have no interest in Christ. The name of Jesus will be the normal name in our lips, in our minds. It will move us to nothing. And yet, you continue to be a slave to sin. Because either you are under God or under your sin. Nobody is free in this world. We are under God or sin. So you continue to be a slave to your sin. You despise God. And you move on. And God will allow you to move on for some time. Like this plant. God didn't come that immediately the flowers came. But he waited, the fruit ripe. And everybody could witness that this is really a fruit that was useless. That's how a sinner's life will continue to be. So even he himself go to a point that I'm pointless. I don't have any hope in this world. That's why people go to a point that they want to be commit suicide, because their sins have led them to that far. So you see that when our hearts have no interest in this saving message of Christ, of God through Christ, then hell has begun for us. At the point that this message has no interest for us, the hell has begun. Because what's the point of life? Hell has begun in this world. And then, in such a state, a sinner must prepare to meet God. That is only that is left. Because this message that Christ has come to die for us, and that we have to seek Him and ask forgiveness in Him, through Him, through, to God through Him, and repent of our sin, feel how our sins are against God, and feel sorrow and remorse for our sins, and cry to God to save us through Him, it's nothing to us. We are moving to hell. Hell is closer to us than ever. Hell is closer to such a person than ever. But as I said before, we can all know God, we can know His will, if we come to Him. If you come and repent of our sins and ask Him to forgive us, knowing, considering how our lives have been, and we can look up to Jesus, who is the propitiation for us, whose only sacrifice satisfied God's mercy for us. Faith in His blood alone is the sinner's hope. So until we have come in this way, trusting in Him, repenting of all of our sins, we continue in our life of sin. And let's remember, all our sinfulness, if it is not forgiven us, we'll have to be accountable before God one day. And may the Lord help us as we think through these things. Let's pray.